coming up on this episode of the MD and Chef Team Show.
Reversing our health is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. And everybody wants this one day wonder or one thing that you have to do to get things under control. Please stop believing that lie. I scroll through Instagram and I see all of these promises and they're not sustainable.
Welcome to the show from the MD and Chef Team. I'm Dr. Isabel, medical doctor here at the MD and Chef Team. And who are you?
And I'm Chef Michael, culinary nutrition expert. I'm the chef part of the team.
And what are we going to talk about, babe? Now, I can say that because he's my husband.
Yes. Well, then we'll be talking about marriage, relationships, parenting, intimacy.
Ooh.
We'll talk about mindsets of success, overcoming depression, anxiety. I'll be getting into functional nutrition, recipes and tips from the kitchen. And we're going to both get into how to live a long, healthy, vibrant life.
Yes, I love it. Our mission is to help you prevent and reverse disease and give you hope in the process. Oh yeah. We like to have fun too. So let's get on with the show.
Hello, it's me, your Dr. Isabel, and you're with me on the MD and Chef Team. And today it's me alone, just you and I talking. And I've entitled this A Better Way for Our Future. I know that's a big topic, and I'm really going to take a deep dive into the healthcare system. Around the world, my colleagues are drowning in chronic disease care, me included. And it's a mess out there. We don't have a healthcare system. We've got disease management. But for me, I'm excited because this is where change happens. You know why? Because it hurts. It hurts so bad that now it's the time for people to go, wait a minute, we got to change things up. The government's in pain and people are hungry for change. Who wants to end up with dementia? Who wants to have a heart attack? Who wants to have diabetes? Of course you don't. And you know what? You don't have to. We can actually prevent all of that stuff. You know, when people are hurting, this is where change happens. And all change and progress and success must ask two questions. Number one, why must it always be done this way? And two, is there a better way? And that's what I'm going to talk to you about, a better way, a vision that I have been researching and saying, yes, this can happen. I totally see this happening. Now, I have been called naive when I share my vision of a better healthcare, a better future for all of us and our children and future generations. And I've also been told that it's too hard, but I love what Don Quixote in Man of La Mancha said. He was being criticized saying, oh, I don't see it. This is not going to happen. You're crazy. What are you thinking? And he says, stop. I will not allow your facts to interfere with my vision. And I want to share with you my vision. You may not see it, but know that I see it and we can get there together. Yes, you and I can get there together. And that's why we're talking about a better way for our future. So reversing our health is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. And everybody wants this one day wonder or one thing that you have to do to get things under control. Please stop believing that lie. I scroll through Instagram and I see all of these promises and they're not sustainable. This is going to take work. It's going to change. It's going to require our habits to be either destroyed and created new habits, right? And if you're having bad habits, you got to get rid of them. They're not working for you. So I see that this is not going to happen in one day, one week, or one month. It's going to happen in a year. And in the government system, I'm looking for somebody who's willing to take a 10-year approach in healthcare and not take the accolade for it. In the government, everybody wants you know, to be saying, oh, it was me who made this happen. But you know what? The true politician, because politicians do care, the true politician will have a vision and say, you know what? We got to do this. We got to start looking upstream. We got to start looking upstream in prevention so that the downstream event of anxiety, depression, heart attacks, strokes, diabetes, Alzheimer's doesn't happen. We got to start working upstream instead of what we're doing right now, which is like at the bottom of the cliff. So I see us as having a multi-level approach. And step number one is we've got to overcome this crazy idea that healthcare starts in a doctor's office. I've been a medical doctor since 1991, which blows my mind, but I'm going to be a doctor until my last breath because I love being a doctor and helping people. And I've seen, after calculations with my husband and I, over 500,000 people one-on-one. And over the last 20 years, people aren't getting better. They're just coming in for their pills, and we've just got disease management. We're just managing their disease. Oh, we just increase their diabetic medication a little bit more, or we increase their high blood pressure medications more. That's not reversing the disease, and we're not talking about prevention. So what's the multi-level approach? Well, we'll start with the communities. Well, I've got my notes here, and I say that the government needs to decrease fast foods in the community. Fast food companies should be paying higher taxes. Why am I saying that? Well, because if you've got a service that is not offering improvement in someone's healthcare, then you should be paying taxes. Because if your service is causing disease, then you're going to be putting pressure on the healthcare system, and you should be paying more taxes. And that tax can be used to fund programs that I'm going to talk about when we go later on. So communities decrease fast foods, and governments are charging higher taxes for these fast food industries. The next level is media and the food industry. Look, the facts are billions of dollars are used to advertise to our children and our adults. Another fact is overweight kids eat 50% of their meals in front of the TV. The TV is raising our kids. That's insane. So what's a solution? I see the solution as prohibiting food marketing to our children, like in 40 other countries, between the times of 8 in the morning till 8 p.m., because that's usually when kids are watching TV. And stop using athletes to promote sugary drinks and sports drinks. Come on. We don't need that. You know, in Singapore, I was just watching a documentary, and in Singapore, they've decreased the sugar content of the sugary drinks by, well, I forgot what the level was, but what happened was it decreased the childhood obesity by 8%. 8%, you guys, that's huge. If we can decrease the childhood obesity, because if the kids are learning bad habits early, and look, I don't blame the kids for being obese. It's really not their fault. The sugar plays with our brain and our gut health, and that's another topic. But if you're obese in this world, I really don't blame you, because the food industry has you figured out, and they will do whatever they need to do to make you want to buy their drink, their food, their package of food. So using athletes to promote sugary drinks and sports drinks, number one, should be definitely stopped. The next level is families. Oh my gosh, you know, healthcare begins in the schools, the homes, places of worship, and businesses. And that's where real healthcare starts. Because you know what? There's a saying in the Good Book that where one can lead 1,000 to flight, two can lead 10,000 to flight. What does that mean? One person, i.e. the mother or the father who buys the food, will infect their family. And that family will infect the relatives. And that's how we change our healthcare system, starting in the family. Eating at home and not watching TV is one of my big ideas. I say we eat together, one meal a day. That's what we instigated with our family, and it was brilliant. And we said no cell phones on the table. One of our kids, I won't say who it was, would just turn it upside down and maybe put it on the floor and then bend over and pick it up. And we'd be like, stop that right now. So eating at home and not watching TV when you're eating and eating together, one meal a day. The research shows that kids who have regular meals with their parents do better. They get better grades, healthier relationships. 42% are less likely to drink alcohol. 50% are less likely to smoke. And there's regular meals decrease the risk of bulimia and anorexia. And it also decreases childhood obesity. I believe that it's because the child is getting love from the parents and they're not feeding a hungry heart with food and watching TV. So that's where we can work in the family. And also, the family reclaims their kitchen. Michael loves teaching people how to reclaim their kitchen because people are really at a loss right now how to cook, how to create food in short periods of time. They're very, very busy. And usually both parents are working right now. So there is a time crunch. And I just encourage families to reclaim their kitchen. And if you've got time, plan a garden, learn how to plan a garden. Getting food from your garden and eating it on your table is just so gratifying. And I have to personally say, we don't have our garden, okay? Right now, we haven't invested our time in that. But if you do have time, that's really a fun family event. The next is schools. Oh my gosh, schools. Let's reinvent school lunches. Don't allow junk food or things like chippies. Let's make a clean break for our children. Let's give them their best shot by starting to eat correctly in school. Instead of giving them all these carbohydrates where their blood sugars are jumping up and down, and they're fidgety in school and they can't concentrate, let's teach them how to eat good, clean lunches. Help them make their lunch. I've got my health coach, our business coach, Julianne Kirkland, creates 6 lunches every day for her kids, and they're clean foods. And she's a busy woman. She's a CEO of a company. She's a mother. She's a wife. She's a daughter. She's a busy, busy woman, just like we're all super busy and productive. So you can make time. How would you like to feel a sense of clarity, focus, and mental sharpness that enables you to tackle any challenge with ease? Can you envision experiencing a better memory and recall, allowing you to easily remember important details, names, and events? What could you accomplish if your mental energy is always high, allowing you to stay alert and productive throughout the day without feeling mentally fatigued or foggy? How great would it feel when you experience better quality sleep, allowing your brain to rest and recharge, leading to increased productivity and creativity? Imagine feeling a sense of calmness and control, allowing you to manage stress and anxiety with ease, giving you the confidence to handle any situation. Be honest with yourself. When was the last time you experienced an overall sense of well-being and satisfaction? You see, your brain health positively impacts all areas of your life, from work to relationships and personal growth. Just visualize how amazing it would feel to have optimal brain health and unlock your full potential. If you want to learn more, and I know you do, then check out the link in the show notes for the Optimizing Your Brain Health community. And we look forward to seeing you there. And now, back to the rest of the show. The next is, why not have farms connected to schools and that they deliver the food? Because you know what? The farmers are really the doctors. They're the ones who are feeding us clean food, and organic will be best. No pesticides. We don't need that. We don't need to be eating pesticides. If you don't have an organic farm close to you, okay, that's fine. I understand that. But there are ways to clean the pesticides off the food to the best of our ability. And why not have the schools have more gardens and get the kids learning how to have a garden so that they'll have a garden that's at home? And teach self-care and nutrition. Now, I know there's nutritional courses in school, but they're not teaching how to eat the right carbohydrate, the right protein, and the right fats all together every meal. They're not teaching that. I know that. Start teaching them how to eat live food. Stop teaching them how to mix a box and mix it up in a bowl and put it in the oven. Let's teach them how to eat, how to use whole food ingredients. I leave that for Chef Michael because he's really good at teaching that. And another idea for school is prevent fast food from operating next to schools. That's a government issue, but that's also a community issue and a family/parent issue. They can say, no, we don't want this fast food here. Unfortunately, they're popping up all over the place. And prevent corner schools from servicing any sugar. I know this is a big one, but prevent corner stores from servicing any sugar Monday through Friday from 8 in the morning until 4 in the afternoon. What do you think about that? Hey, I like the man from La Mancha says, Don Quixote, stop. I will not allow your facts to interfere with my vision. Please open up your eyes. We can do this. This is how change happens when we all work together and believe for a better future for our families. Because you know what? Food is medicine or food is poison. We got to start understanding that. Because you know what? If we don't take control of this, the food industry controls our healthcare. And that doesn't have to happen. We can take back our health. Another idea for schools is an eat only in lunchroom policies. No eating in the hallways. One of the studies that I saw showed that there was a decrease in 10% body weight without any other changes in the diet or exercise. 10% decrease in body weight. That's huge because we know that increased body weight, increased obesity increases your risk of all these other diseases like strokes. Hey, there have been 14, 15-year-old kids that have had bypass surgery because they're so obese. Bypass, cardiac bypass surgery. So please, let's start taking this seriously. Okay, how about in the workplace? Well, we all work and we're usually with a bunch of people and there's usually a kitchen. Let's start doing wellness programs in the workplace because, like I said, one can lead 1,000 to flight, two can lead 10,000 to flight. We grow in communities. We develop new habits when we see other people doing good habits. Have wellness coaches in the workplace. Maybe even consider having an incentive program where the workplace gives a 50% incentive to pay for health coaches. You know what? That will only benefit the workplace because you're going to have healthier, more energetic, focused, producing employees that are there and able to focus on what they're doing. However, before that even begins, you got to ask the workers, the staff, the team, why would they even get involved with a wellness coach? Because if you don't have your why would you do this? Why would you change habits? Why would you go through the pain? because there will be pain. There will be pain. It's part of the struggle. Everybody's got a dream and everybody wants the victory, but nobody wants to do that middle part, which is the struggle. You got to ask them, why would you do this? And let them know that they've got to learn how to be disciplined, because without discipline, there is no success. So that's one thing that I would do if I was working in a workplace, is first ask each and every one to ask themselves, why would you do this? And have them write that down and review it every single day. Because you know what? It's hard. I smoked for 27 years and it took me 41 times to quit smoking. And to be honest with you, I really enjoyed smoking, but I didn't like the smell and I didn't like what it was doing to my skin and my health. And yes, I was a doctor while I was smoking. And my why helped me get over to the 41st time. And had I not had my why tattooed in my mind, I wouldn't have done the 41st time. And it was the 41st time that made me quit. And now I've been smoke-free since 2001. So you got to have your why, because man, it really helps you get over the hump. The next is hospitals. Okay, first of all, let's get patient food right, okay? Please, let's stop feeding them dead food. These are sick people. They need live food. We got to give them some nutrition. I've worked in hospitals way too long to even appreciate that there's really no thought. I know I'm going to get bashed on this, but there's really no thought in the preparation of the food. It's just yuck. And then the cafeteria. Okay, so the family has to eat too. So why not make beautiful food for them so they get love from their food. They get energized from their food. So hospitals, that was another area. And then the last area is where we worship. Churches, mosques, wherever people worship. We got to teach people, look, we're being taught how to take care of our soul, but we need to teach people how to take care of their body, because without their body, they can't do the work. If you are unwell, you know this. If you're unwell, it's hard to do the work that you're here on earth to do. My heart cries when I see, like, oh, I was in the airport the other day. I've been in a lot of airports recently, but my heart cries just seeing people so unwell, so inflamed, so sick, so in pain when they're walking. That's why I'm doing this, because it doesn't have to be that way, okay? So this is a really exciting place, a place where change happens, because everybody is hurting and nobody's happy with the healthcare system. So got to take a multi-level approach. And it's crazy for us to think that healthcare starts in the doctor's office. No, it doesn't. We got to course correct and start thinking, okay, healthcare starts in the communities by changing what's being shown on TV, by talking to the food industry and saying, no, you do not have control over us, by working in the family, in the schools, in the workplace, in the hospitals, and in the places of worship. We can do this together. Really, we can do this together. So I hope you join me and Michael, the MD and Chef team here. I don't really know how to stop this, because I feel like I would love to talk more and more one-on-one with you, but I just wanted to give you some food for thought for your family and for your health and for your future, because we can do this together. That's how change happens, together. Okay, well, remember to remain unstoppable and to keep on becoming your best, okay? Just keep on becoming your best. Talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Hello, Chef Michael here. If you enjoyed today's episode, we would love it if you subscribed to the podcast and left us a review.